Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's Scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, I have a friend who always has the news glaring on the TV in the background of his house. He says that he wants to stay up to date with the latest events, but the more I talk to him, the more I find him worried, fearful, cynical, and angry with what he sees and hears. Edwin, why are things the way that they are in the world? Why is everything so messed up, and why are people so crazy? He must have been referring to everything happening in our nation and around the world, with wars and rumors of wars, the hatred, the abuse, the murders and violence, not to mention the drugs, the injustice, racism, viruses, and corruption. There's indoctrination of kids in schools with ideologies that destroy their innocence. There is lawlessness all over with no one doing anything about it. Trafficking of humans and a constant cycle of just bad news again and again. Will these killings ever stop, he asked? Why are people being taken advantage of in return for pleasure and money? Don't people know that what they're doing hurts others? Won't anything ever be done to stop such people from getting away? My friend looks at this world and sees that there is evil and injustice everywhere. Instead of fair judgment, he finds wickedness, and instead of righteousness, he finds evil and sin. And we can all agree that the world is broken, and even our lives are broken. We have relationships that are full of strife, tension, and frequent arguing, which results in having no peace. Not to mention decisions that people have made that have directly affected us, or things that were said that we're still trying to recover from. Many of us face injustices on a regular basis, whether it's favoritism being shown to others at work, or things that you know are absolutely wrong. But if you said something, you would get in trouble or even be fired. Some of us have been overlooked, mistreated, or even not given opportunities because of our age, our gender, our skin color, our faith, our country of origin, our education, which have contributed to our dreams still being put on hold or even shattered. Many of us are experiencing and grieving loss. Loss of loved ones, loss of relationships, loss of health, loss of money, loss of opportunities, loss of time, and it all seems like it never ends. It feels like wickedness and evil keep winning, and many of us who try to live right and do what is right keep losing. And when life feels broken and overwhelming, we start to look for hope in people, things, politicians, circumstances, or even time to fix it. People have promised change that we can believe in. But there's no real change, just more brokenness, corruption, and empty promises, which adds to more injustice. Time doesn't seem to change things because things just keep getting worse. And every time something happens to someone or to us, we long for the day that things can be made right and that real peace and real righteousness can be finally realized. So what about you? What in your life or in this world do you want to see made right? You know, we're in the last part of our sermon series called Promises, finding God's hope in hopeless times, because we all need hope, especially when it comes to our lives. But the good news is that God has the answers that we need, and it comes in the form of over 7,000 promises made by God to us found in the Bible. such promises that can lift our weary soul and give us hope, clarity, courage, and perspective to make it through whatever we are facing. See, all this brokenness that we daily experience wasn't supposed to be that way. Because in the beginning, when God created earth as a place for us to live in, he declared that what he had created was good. However, when he created the first two humans, Adam and Eve, so that they could have a relationship with him, he marveled at his creation and said, "Very good." And very good meant that things were perfect. Things were the way that it should be, the way that God intended. Peace and harmony for all. However, given a free will to choose between right and wrong, Adam and Eve, instead of listening to God, chose to disobey him, bringing sin into this world. But let's define what sin is. Sin is rebellion against God, and it's missing the mark of what God would want for our lives. Sin is breaking the laws of God, and sin brings death. And because humans are given free will, they can choose to obey God or not. And whenever someone has free will, they have the freedom to make whatever choices they want, which brings with them consequences to those choices. And since Adam and Eve chose to go their own way apart from God, their inner nature was transformed by their sin of rebellion, bringing to them both physical and spiritual death, which would be passed on to all who came after them, and that includes you and me. Pastor R.C. Sproul said, "We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners." Sin also brought death to this world and everything in it, which is why the world and all in it was no longer good. So we broke off the relationship with God when we chose to do things our own way apart from God. This is why we feel broken and why our world is the way that it is, because that brokenness affects our lives, it affects those around us, and it affects the world that we live in. And all this brokenness comes because of our sin. But God has a promise for us that will be fulfilled and will give us hope now and forever. And it is when Jesus said, "I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done." It is Jesus' promise to renew, to restore, and to rectify everything that is broken in us and in this world. Here, John, who was one of Jesus' closest followers, had been exiled to the island of Patmos as a result of anti-Christian persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian in 81 AD. While on the island, John receives visions from God, revealing the secrets of the unseen world and of things to come in the future. These unveilings by God were written down by John, which we know today to be the book of Revelation. John then circulated what he saw to seven cities in the Roman province of Asia Minor. He did this to warn the believers, but also to challenge and encourage them to keep the faith in the midst of opposition and their persecution. Jesus saying that all things will be made new is a promise that began on the cross and will continue until everything is restored again. See, our sin put us in a debt. And in order to pay for that sin debt, someone has to now die. Which meant that since sin has affected all of humanity, all of us would have to die both physically and spiritually. And God wanted to fix that because of his love for us. And the only way to pay for that debt of sin is for God to take the place of us so that he would die and we would be free. So God's solution for our sin problem was to become one of us in human form as Jesus. Jesus would be the one that would reestablish the relationship between humanity and God by dying on the cross for our sins. And why was he able to do this for all of humanity? Because when Jesus came to earth, he fulfilled all of the religious law, living a perfect life without sin. And so someone who is without sin is able to now take the place and die for someone who has sin. And why was he able to die for the sins of all of humanity? The reason why is because an infinite God can die for infinite sins. Which means that his death could remove the barrier of sin and allow us to be made right with God and be in relationship with him once again. He died for the sin that masters and controls us all the time. He died for our lust problem, our hatred of others and ourselves. He died for our worry, our sicknesses, our selfishness, our addictions, and our lies. He died for all of our sins that keep us in bondage and away from God. He died so that we can be set free. And the shedding of his blood on that cross cleansed the sins of humanity, and it cleansed you and me. And by Jesus choosing to do that, it now provided a way for humanity to be made right with God, and for them to now have a relationship with him once again, both on earth and for all of eternity. That is why, while Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished," meaning it is paid in full. Finished meant that Jesus did everything that he needed to do in order for God and humanity to be reconciled. He did everything that needed to be done in order to eliminate the debt of sin forever. He did everything that he needed to do so that the power of sin and Satan was finished and sin would have no more mastery over our lives. He did everything he needed to do in order to provide an avenue where now everything that was broken could be made new in him. But not only did Jesus die, but his resurrection meant that death would have no more hold over us anymore. Jesus' resurrection is witness to the immense power of God, and that everything that Jesus said about himself and that he would do was true. And to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus is to really believe in God, which means believing that he has absolute sovereignty over all of life and over all of death. It also means that he has the power to conquer death and raise the dead. Because if he didn't resurrect from the dead, then that means that we are still dead in our sins and we will stay broken forever. But only Jesus, who created life, can resurrect it after death. And only he can make beauty from ashes. So from an eternal perspective, this newness is available to all who believe in him. And this newness has already been accomplished in our lives and in the world in the eyes of eternity. And God knows this and has even seen this come to pass because God lives outside the bounds of time and doesn't count time as we do. So even though all we see is brokenness now, the reality is that God sees all things new in the future, and one day we too will experience that newness come to full fruition. God guarantees this fulfillment, that all things be made new, by saying, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." By saying to us that he is sitting on the throne of the universe and that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he is saying that he is the start and the end of all of history. Just as God finished the work of creation that we read about in Genesis, and Jesus finished the work of redemption on the cross, Jesus will now finish the entire plan of salvation by inviting those who are redeemed into a new creation. And because God is making all things new, we can hope in all that God will do and one day do. The first thing we learn is that as a result of Jesus' death and resurrection, God will make us new. See, when someone trusts in Jesus to save them from their sins, the Holy Spirit comes into their life and lives in them, and they become a new creation. Scripture says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." The scripture is saying that anyone who is in Christ is made new. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are from, what race, socioeconomic class, nationality, or background you have, including what you have done or what has happened or been done to you. Because anyone can be made new in Jesus. You can be a new creation in Jesus. This means that while we are here on earth, we are regenerated by God's Holy Spirit. And those who are saved from their sins are not just forgiven, but changed into a new creation. Because with Jesus, the old is gone and the new is here. He will make all things new. However, being a new creation doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it does mean that we are transformed and that we are being transformed daily to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So we are being spiritually and morally renewed while here on earth. But not just that, when we pass on from the earth, or if Jesus comes back to take us to be with him in heaven, our bodies will be made new and we will receive perfect and glorified bodies like Jesus had after his resurrection. These bodies will be imperishable, meaning that it will no longer be affected by sin. So this means that we will no longer suffer from sickness or death, nor will we ever be subject to any sort of temptations or thirst or hunger. Our glorified bodies will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we will not experience weakness or even any sort of pain anymore. Because when God makes all things new, he makes us new. The second thing we learn is that God will make our relationships new. It is through our relationship with God that we are made new. And because we are forgiven and loved by God in spite of our sin, we can now have the power to forgive and love those that we associate with in spite of their sin. Scripture says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. With Jesus' death and resurrection, he reconciled us to him by blotting out our sins and making us right with him. He took on our sin and gave us his righteousness. Therefore, we could experience forgiveness and are no longer enemies or strangers to God. But instead, we are now his children and reconciled to God. And because love, grace, and forgiveness has been extended to us by God, we now have the power to extend that same love, that same grace, that same forgiveness to those around us. In fact, we become his image bearers of what forgiveness and reconciliation looks like to a watching world, which also means that we are Jesus' ambassadors and representatives of what reconciliation looks like because we ourselves have experienced reconciliation with God. Jesus told his followers that just as I have loved you, to love one another, which means that when we know and love God in a vertical relationship, we now have the ability to make things right with all of our horizontal relationships. With God's power, the grudges we once held can be let go. The lying can finally stop. The admitting of wrongdoing can freely happen. The steps needed to be taken in order to make the wrongs now right can be taken, and forgiveness can now be extended, which means that if someone is in Christ, they now have the ability to take steps to bring God's newness to their relationships as he makes such relationships new in him. The third thing we learn is that God will make things right in this world by vanquishing all evil for good. Scripture says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Scripture tells us the many names that describe the devil's true nature: the tempter, the deceiver, the ruler of demons, the evil one, the enemy, the adversary, and the god of this age, who is bent on undermining what God wants and bent on destroying God's human creation, blinding people from believing in the God who loves and cares for them. So the devil's goal is to bring his kingdom and his reign to earth. He is the one that tempts and destroys and lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden, saying, "You will not certainly die if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." He deceives both Adam and Eve to disobey God, leading them to their death, both physically and spiritually. And it was that act that brought sin into this world, thus also bringing death to everything in it. And Satan has been continuing to destroy. However, God will put an end to him and his demons. Scripture says that in the end time, Satan will attempt to defeat God's purpose by deceiving the nations and assembling a vast army in order to resist Jesus' second coming. Satan will gather a force as numerous as the sand of the seashore. But it is then that God will bring a swift and complete judgment of Satan and all who follow him. A fire from heaven will destroy Satan's companions, and Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where they will be tormented for all of eternity. The lake of fire is the ultimate destination of everything wicked. It is at this point that all opposition to God's ways will finally be over and evil will be completely defeated. Then what will happen is that God will make our world new. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" With God's judgment finished, the earth as we know it will not last forever. That is why God will create a new and eternal earth and will do a complete makeover. This will be known as the New Jerusalem, the City of God, or the celestial city, where God lives among his people. This will be heaven on earth, and anyone with their name written in the book of life will be united to live there forever. This eternal place is a place of no mores. There'll be no more tears, no more fears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, because death and evil are conquered. For followers of Jesus, we will be face to face with God, the one whom we have put our faith in, the one that sacrificed himself so that we could be saved from sin. After this recreation, the disciple John sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. The bride refers to Jesus' church, which is us, and those who haven't passed on from this earth will be united with Jesus. This celestial city is a place of unimagined blessings because there is no more curse and the new is now here. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate fulfillment of all of God's promises to us. And it is in the New Jerusalem that we experience God and His goodness. Pastor and author Randy Alcorn says, "Heaven is where God's throne is, where He dwells with His people. Hence, the new earth will be heaven on earth. When Christians die, we go to live with God in His place. That's the present heaven. But after the resurrection, God will come down to live with us in our place. The future heaven on the new earth will not be us with God, but God with us." We err when we confuse the present pre-resurrection heaven with the future post-resurrection heaven that God will bring down to the new earth. The present heaven is far better than our lives under the curse of sin and suffering. Upon death, we will be at home with the Lord. The best is yet to come. Eternal and delightful life, worshiping and serving the forever incarnate Jesus on the new earth. And lastly, God will make all things right. John continues saying, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." The best thing about heaven is we will once again be in the presence of Jesus, the one who loved us and who sacrificed Himself so that we can enjoy His presence and be with Him in eternity. Heaven is heaven because of Jesus. And Jesus mentions this place to give hope to anyone who follows Him, to give us perspective and to calm our fears. And this promise of Jesus has given hope to so many who are facing tough times, that their pain and suffering will soon come to an end, that all that is wrong in this world will come to an end. Righteousness will reign and all things unjust will be made right. The water of life is a symbol of eternal life. It represents fullness of life with God and eternal blessings that come when we believe in Him and allow Him to satisfy our spiritual thirst. See, we will come full circle. God created Eden, which was perfect and a place where God and humans could dwell together. But sin destroyed all of what God had created. But here, we see that God will create a new Eden, where people will live with God in peace, and there will be no more evil, because evil has been destroyed forever. That is why whatever is happening in this world, whatever injustice we have seen or have experienced, God will have the final word. Because with Jesus, the old is gone and the new is here. He will make all things new. The tree of life is like the tree of life in the original Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned, they were forbidden to eat from the tree of life because if they did, they would have remained in their sinful condition forever. But because of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus, there will be no more evil or sin in this new city of God. We will be able to eat freely from the tree of life. Decay, destruction, death, and evil are all part of our lives now on this earth. But when Jesus says, "I make all things new," it means that one day, we will be free from the consequences and effects of sin and death, rot and decay. Brokenness will be made whole once again, and blessings will come again instead of curses. Believers can look forward to the coming renewal and restoration of all things. No more wars or hatred and abuse. The murders and violence will all stop. Racism, viruses, and corruption are all gone. Human trafficking is over, and there will be no more bad news ever. People who terrorize and oppress others will all be brought to justice, and everything that was hidden will be revealed and dealt with by God. Justice will be realized, and fair judgment will be found instead of wickedness, righteousness instead of sin and evil. And this will include all the injustices in our own lives and in our own relationships. Can you imagine living in a place with God where there is no more evil and all things are finally made right in our lives and in this world? In the original garden, it was paradise. And at the end of the age, paradise will be realized once again. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God face to face, and we will worship God and talk with him face to face once again. The garden was destroyed by sin, but we will be part of the celestial city that has no sin. That is the vision that God wants us to have, which is why following Jesus now is more important than ever. Because not only will you allow God to start making things right in your life and in your world, but now you'll be available to help others experience the new world that Jesus promises for all who put their faith in him. Because with Jesus, the old is gone and the new is here. He will make all things new. You know, promises were meant to be held on to and to encourage us in good times and even in hopeless times. Well, over these past 11 weeks, we have given you and help you to learn about just 11 of them. But know that there are actually over 7,000 of these promises. God tells us these things because in these promises, we have hope even in our hopeless times. So remember these promises, live out these promises, and pray for them in your life and in the lives of those around you. So three questions for you to reflect on. Number one, knowing that God is going to make all things new, how does that give you hope and encouragement with your own brokenness and with the injustices that you see in your life and in the lives of those around you? Number two, how can you share this hope of heaven and all things being made new with those around you? And number three, knowing that everything will be made right and that followers of Jesus will be in a forever place of no mores, how does that influence how you are trusting God with your life and with your circumstances today? Remember, because with Jesus, the old is gone and the new is here. He will make all things new. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we know that in time you will make all things new, both in us and in this world. And as we long for that glorious day when justice comes, when evil is totally defeated and that things are finally made right, it is you that brings us love. It is you that brings us hope. And that one day, what you had intended for us will become a living reality. God, we need you. God, we thank you. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins and to transform you, to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.